Hello and welcome to the Comedy Club podcast right here at the Comedy Club at Kansas City. I'm your host, Dustin Kaufman. Please subscribe. Just click that subscribe button right there. Just subscribe. Am I coming out of your screen? Subscribe, share with your friends. Follow us across the board at the Comedy Club KC. I am here with the very funny, lifelong friend, Mr. Mike Baldwin.
I'm texting my sister.
Tell her hi.
Yeah, well, she just came to this show that we just did, and so she sent me a snap that was like, "You did good. I'm proud of you."
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it was nice. That's what I was worried about before the show. Was like, dude, my sister's here. I can't do inappropriate sister material. But then once I got up there, then I was like, I'm saying everything.
Yeah, we do these between shows a lot. We used to record these like in the afternoons or like different times, but
no, you can't. That's nap time, dude.
Yeah, but this has been working great ever since we kind of cut it down to that 30 minutes. Even if you're doing merch, just that, you know, between it fits really nice. But you were talking about your sister, but more your niece. You're like, my niece, she's never seen me.
She never has. She's watched all of my videos and stuff, so I know she knows what I do and stuff, you know, but I still, like, I don't know. There's just certain things that I'm like, I don't want to talk about that in front of my family, you know? I don't want to do jerk-off jokes in front of my niece and then see her laugh at them and be like, oh, man, my uncle jerking off is so funny. Like, I'm like, I don't want that to be your memory of me, you know? But, yeah, it went well, and I had a ton of new stuff that I'm trying.
That one new jerk-off joke is really funny.
Thank you very much, yes.
Speaking of which, you had a lot of new material tonight. I love seeing it.
Yeah, I was excited. That's why I was nervous. If I was just rehashing the same stuff, I wouldn't be nervous about
it. So you have a base set, but you always, no matter what, you always, every show, you'll take 5, 10, even 15 minutes sometimes and try new stuff. You tell them, I'm going to work out some new stuff for a minute. And you open up a book and you work on. So to see you come in, knowing that you do that all the time anyways, to see you come in with a new opener, with new material, like just in a new, it's so refreshing. And I love seeing it. I think the house noticed as well. I heard a couple of staff like, dude, Mike's new stuff is killing it.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. I'm turning Do Not Disturb on. I don't know if you just heard the ding through the microphone, but.
So this, don't hold this against Mike's career. He's very funny. Mike and I, we've known.
But I feel a but coming.
No, we've known each other a long time.
Don't be mad at Mike for this, but.
Don't associate our relationship to your fun. Like, but I've known you a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we may have started on the same day.
Literally on the same week, I think, that we did.
Which would have been the same day then.
Of course, yeah.
Open mic was once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Roommates in two states.
Yeah, we lived together in downtown Kansas City for a year.
West
maybe.
Plaza?
Uh-huh.
45th Street.
And then you moved to L.A., and you were doing shit in L.A., and I was like, you know what? I'm going to come to L.A., and I stayed on your couch for like a week or something, and you were like, why don't you just move in, dude? And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna. I have nothing going on in my life. Those were the good old days when I could literally pack up and move to another state and didn't have to ask anybody if it was okay, you know?
I remember when you moved in, you were making vines. Do you remember when you moved in, vines were popular?
I was doing stop motion vines. That was my big thing.
It was like 6-second videos.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
But the biggest one that I got, which was probably, looking back now, it was probably 1,000 views or something like that. But I was just like, oh, this one's taken off, you know? But I started with just a pile of my clean clothes, and then I would press the button and then press it again real quick, and then I would move them slightly, and it was just my clothes folding themselves, and it was genius in my mind at the time. I wish I still had that video, actually.
Is Vine app even still?
People are trying to get Elon to buy it and make it a part of X, but he hasn't yet.
The technology side of it. Is the app still I mean, can you use them?
I don't think it's even it's still a thing.
It's not really, yeah.
But I mean, you can, anybody, the reason Vine existed was because you couldn't get a minute of video on the internet at the time and have it easily play on a phone signal or whatever.
Well, YouTube, but there was like maybe Instagram and the videos weren't necessarily.
Instagram was all pictures at the time, you know? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So they were like, we can do 6 seconds of a video without filling up a phone. So let's do that.
I remember when Facebook started, it went from MySpace to Facebook.
I remember. Do you have a story? Or
I mean, I can always come back to it a little bit.
I remember being in Columbia, Missouri, which was like a college town. And I remember this group of college kids going, oh, man, you just wait till you see Facebook. Because college kids got access to it before anybody else. If you had an EDU email address, and all these kids were just like, it's so awesome, dude. And looking back now, it's like, it's this exact same thing as MySpace. You're just typing shit and your friends are seeing it.
This is not what I was going to say, but I remember when, you know, getting that Facebook and putting like, I'm going to be playing music down at First Fridays. Come see us play. Right. And then like, and then afterwards somebody's like, hey, I saw this on Facebook, figured I'd come hang out and watch. Great job. Like whatever. And that was the first time in my head I was like, there's real people on the other end of this.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, like when it first switched over, it's not relevant to anything, but the girl I was dating at the time was mad at me because I didn't like add her as like, why are we not Facebook friends? And to me, it was like new marketing for comedy. Then I would just be like, because it doesn't matter. It's stupid. It's Facebook. What does it matter? And now it's like everybody's on.
That's a track on a Frank Ocean album. Pretty much the exact same thing you just said, except the guy has a foreign accent. There was a girl on Facebook, and she wanted me to accept her on Facebook, and I said, no, it's not real. I'm here with you. Why? And she started to be crazy. Somebody watching knows exactly the track that I'm talking about. That whole album's good, man. Frank Ocean.
I'll check it out.
All right.
But yeah, that was a real argument and stuff. But
I can see that.
So 6 second vines. What have you been up to, man? Have you been working?
Here and there. Not as much as I would like to. I've got some random things coming up, but no, it's been a bunch of bar shows. And like I talk about this a lot with other comedians, how I started this in around the year 2000, and the first 4 or 5 years, it was all just open mics or maybe bar shows and whatever. And then from about 5 or 6 years in, for the next 10 years, I would get the big comedy club at the time was called the Improv and the Funny Bone. And all of them were owned by one dude or one group of dudes or whatever. And one guy was the booker for all of them. And there were like 30 all over the country. And I would get one email a year. The guy's name was Dave Stroop.
I think he's still doing it.
He is. But we'll get into that in a minute. But I would get one email a year from him with just a list of every Funny Bone and Improv and a date. And he was like, these work? And I would be like, yes. And that would fill up my whole year. And then, you know, I would know that I was going to Ohio in October. So I would call other places around there. Book around it. Dude, I was booked solid all year long for years. And then, and I'm not shitting on Dave Stroop, he's just following what makes money and whatever. But it used to be then the club would book a headliner and then the person at the club would decide, all right, who's a good opener for this person? And they would choose the opener. The clubs set up the entire show. So people would come and enjoy, even if they didn't know who the headliner was or like him.
The clubs would book the MC and the feature act.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Right.
Absolutely.
And somewhere along the line, headliners started bringing their own openers, which I think made comedy take a step down because they're not booking these guys because they're the funniest, the way that the clubs would book these guys. They're booking them because they're fun to ride in the car with. They're fun to hang out at the bar after the show or sit in the green room with.
Run a camera sometimes.
Right. But they're not booking them because they're the funniest. If anything,
some do. I have to say some do.
Some still do. But a lot of them just started booking people that were slightly less funny than them so that they would never outshine them. And then they could go on stage and be the real star of the show. And so around that time, which was what, I'm going to guess 2012, 13 or so, maybe. Since then, my work has just dwindled a little bit more each year. And I mean, I still work a lot of the same places, but just not with the regularity that I used to, you know? And it's kind of sad, but at the same time, it's...
You stay busy.
I do. You stay busy. And I can't complain. You work clubs, it bars. Just used to be easier, and now so I feel like it's not
easy. This conversation has been brought up actually a couple times on this podcast, and it's... I'm glad... You know what? I'm happy to talk about it again. You bring it up. It's a real conversation that needs to be had, and I don't think that... I don't think the... A lot of the comics who are bringing their openers, I don't think they're maybe aware, or at the end of the day, I don't know that one would care even, but it is really hurting the industry.
Yeah.
You're the other side. I mean, you are the perfect example. There's so little work for local features all over the country. And in return, that's going to hurt your MCs. Or your MCs come up, then they become features, and then you can hardly book them. But you have to keep building talent.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I fight as often as I can for those spots. As often as I can, I'm like, local support.
Yeah.
But, yes, it is, and it is hurting the middle. And eventually it's going to hurt the headliners because... you're limiting the pool.
Yeah. I mean, drastically. I would have weeks, and this didn't happen often, but it did happen where I would do so well as the feature act that they would flip me and the headliner. And for the headliner that week, that sucks. But at the same time, it makes that guy go, fuck, man, I gotta, you know, put it into the next gear or whatever, like work really hard at this. And, I don't know. It's
maybe making where social media has made it that you don't have to live in an LA or New York to get a following and to work.
Yeah.
Taking out that middle position is adding a new necessity for the LA and New York almost, because now you have MCs who are ready to feature. They're the ones moving there, hoping just to get middle work.
Yeah.
Hoping somebody will take them on just so they can work as an opener.
Right.
And that's the first, I think, one of the early goals of a lot of the people going there. They're not going there with the mindset of, I want to be the biggest yet. You know what I mean?
I just want to work, dude.
I just want to work, dude. Yeah. I just want to work consistently, and you should be able to do that.
See, and it used to be, it changes the kind of person that becomes a comedian the way that they're doing that. Because when the clubs booked you based solely on the fact that you were funny. And less on the fact that you didn't drink all of their expensive alcohol and you didn't try to fuck the wait staff and, you know, those things, which I can't say never, but but I was. Wasn't that guy notoriously, you know, but then because I'm not good at people I'm good at audiences, you know, and so now it becomes like
you're an introvert?
Of course.
Isn't that like
I lived in New York for a couple of years, and I was so depressed when I was there because I knew that my comedy was good. When I got on stage, I would do really well. But then after the show, I'd be like, hey man, can I get like on a list or whatever to come do this again? And the guy would be like, just, we're going out after this. Come hang. Everybody would say come hang all the time. And I would be like, I have a 45 minute Long Island Railroad trip back to my apartment or whatever. Like, I don't want to hang. I don't drink anymore. So it's like, you're all drinking why aren't you drinking? And then I'm the outcast guy that's like, yeah, all of that stuff. And that is ruining comedy because it makes people who focus 100% of their attention on being good at comedy not as appealing as somebody who's just cool to hang with.
The Comedy Store improved that. I've talked to a lot of people where the Comedy Store for a long time fell to like it, the people who were just hanging out and
yeah.
was going to hang. But I have heard from several people that management has changed a bit and they're doing a much better job about booking funny.
Good.
And not just like people hanging. I mean, it's still at that place. That's still a great way to get in the door, you know, be there, hang out. Like, yes, definitely.
Right.
But I'm just saying it. They've lost that rep. They're,
yeah,
doing great.
But I just know so many comedians who, if nobody knew who they were, they would walk into a club, you know, hey, how's it going? Like, with their little notebook, they would go sit by themselves in the green room and just write by themselves. And to a New Yorker or whatever, they'd be like, what the fuck's this guy's problem? But to a comedy club, they're like, man, he's in the zone, you know? And then the guy goes on stage, gets like a standing ovation or whatever, and you would think that that would spread the word through the industry of like, you got to book this guy. But instead, the word that spreads is like, I don't know, man, he's kind of like standoffish. And it's like, he's a comedian. That's all he has to be good at is getting on stage and being funny. That's how it should be.
It's harder to build...
And yeah, you can't build a social media following unless you can look the camera in the eye and be like, what's up, guys?
I know the club side of it and the industries. I know a lot of, you know, the general consensus is it's harder to build a fan base just being funny, like where you could just, hey, this dude's really funny. People, you know, will just over, you know, bring him out a few times. People will love him. They'll keep coming back to see. Just that's not what they look for as much these days. And that mindset has lost as well a little
yeah.
bit. It really leans heavy, heavy on social media.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's it's a hard thing to do. But I remember
that's why we're sitting here today.
Of course. Yeah. Hey, we're on social media what? Right now.
Where are we?
I remember talking to
am I on Instagram?
When I was Hello? When I was 21, 22, I remember a guy who was like 50 or whatever at the time. And I was talking about because I had spent like $50 or whatever making copies of DVDs, you know, and I would put them in a manila envelope and I would mail them to clubs and try to get work from them and stuff. And then this guy was telling me about how lucky I had it that I got to do it with DVDs because he gave me a back in my day story. And he said, we would go to the front desk of the hotel. We would give them $100. They would press a button or whatever that would allow the phone in the hotel room to make long distance calls. And we had a list, a printed out list of every comedy club in the country and every phone number. And we would call a comedy club, and there was never a phone guy or anything at the time. The guy who owned the club answered the phone at the club, and you would just start doing your act over the phone. And the guy would just listen to you do your act for 5 minutes. And then he would either go, no, nah, it's not really what we're looking for. Or we would go, yeah, we've got this date and this date open. Can you come and work? And he said we would sit in our hotel room for just hours until the front desk called and said, your $100 is gone. You've spent it all. And do you want to pay another $100 or are you done for the day? And I just think that's interesting. And now it's just like, just record yourself and put it on the internet.
Get some followers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people who do really well with this and play the social media as well. But yes, it is definitely the driving factor. You know, what's funny is like, we've established how well we've known each other.
We're better friends than most people that I know.
Right.
And I feel like I'm that to you as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We talk on the phone. And I don't talk on the phone to anybody.
And we'll talk for like
an hour or more.
Yeah.
About nothing.
Absolutely. And which is really funny because coming into this podcast, I have been more unsure about this conversation. I don't know why I was in my head about it, but more unsure about this 30 minutes that we've done a thousand times over with nothing than like sitting down and talking to people that I've never talked more than 5 minutes with.
Right.
But sometimes like, I don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah. I was thinking about it today too, but yeah, it's fine. We're fine. We don't have to.
Fine, Dustin.
We could do a whole nother 30 minutes.
Sierra, how's it going?
Is that what you do when it's weird?
It's not weird. No,
but I mean, when you have somebody sometimes on that's like, I don't have anything to, Sierra, you got anything to add? Or
actually, no, we'll call her. I'll have her Google things, or I'll just ask her if she, her opinion on
she's
stuff.
She's like, you're Jamie.
Yeah, but she'll just pull out her phone.
On Rogan, right?
She's never been on the show, but we talk to her pretty often. She's definitely there. She runs the cameras, the sound, does file management.
I feel like that's more appealing to a listener to be like, to imagine what Sierra is.
Yeah.
Versus one episode where she's like, hey, it's me.
Should we tell them?
If you want, yeah. Do you want to come be on?
Do you want us to tell them who you are? Y'all know who she is. That's what she said. She's like, I think people know.
But there's people that are listening that are going, God, Sierra sounds fucking, I can barely hear her, but there's something about that.
She's 6'4". She has three eyes.
I don't know. I don't look at, I just stare at tits. No matter who it is.
I was expecting you to go a whole nother direction with that. Because, like, you've always been like, floating heads, they're floating. My mom just taught me
floating. My dad taught me floating heads,
floating,
yes.
Heads.
He said, just pretend women are just heads floating around and you can't even see anything else, so there's no reason to look. You look at the only thing you can see, which is their head. And he said at some point they will reveal the rest of their body to you, but you wait until they
show you.
Right. Until they're like, look at these. And I'm like, oh, I had no clue those even existed.
Respectful eye contact. That's funny. Yeah.
What else?
Sierra's wonderful. I don't know. I mean, you were doing your carnivore diet. You were going to start the carnivore the same time I was given Ozempic. But I didn't start Ozempic for, like, weeks. I mean,
yeah. You started Ozempic around the same day I told you that I failed miserably at the carnivore diet.
So we were going to start the same day. You started yours. I didn't. And then I guess you stopped and I started.
Right. I did. The carnivore diet does work if you want to lose a lot of weight fast. I lost almost 30 pounds in like 26 days or something
amazing.
Like that. And I felt it too. Like it felt good, but it's just so easy to just be like, all right, I'll cheat this one time. And then I joke on stage, but it's true also, like trying to cheat on a diet is the same as being like a crackhead and like quitting crack and then being like, all right, I'm a little bit of crack. Just
that's
a little tiny bit.
Than the carnivore, that's worse than a low carb diet.
Yeah, it's meat and cheese only, dude. No vegetables, no fucking fruit, none of that stuff.
Sugar, sweet.
No sugar at all.
Eggs?
Eggs.
Yes, so just meat.
It depends
and
on who's telling you about the carnivore
milk?
Diet. Not milk. You can do cream. With milk, they add sugar to it, or it's got some kind of sugar stuff in it. Cream, heavy cream has none.
So what was your cheat day? You were like meat and cheese only for a month.
My cheat day was my sister and my brother-in-law and my niece were about to go to the Dominican Republic for a week on vacation. And I was coming to their house to house sit for the week. And I even had my sister. She bought me like steaks and hamburgers and shit. Yeah. I was like, meat. All I want's meat. And so then we went and had barbecue because she picked a barbecue place because she was like, you can just get meat at the barbecue place, just no sauce or whatever. And I got there and I was like, you know what? I'm kind of on vacation. You guys are about to go on vacation. I was like, I'll cheat here at the delicious barbecue place. And I did. I got the beans and the mac and cheese and bread shit. And it was wonderful. And then my brain just clicked and I was just hooked again.
Like, we need that.
And she has like a whole, downstairs freezer that's just like pizzas and chicken nuggets and that kind of shit. And I live in Wichita now.
Kids freezer.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And I live in Wichita now. So when I come back to the Kansas City area, I like to frequent all of the delicious Kansas City food that they only have in Kansas City. And the first place that I always go is High Boy. I worked at High Boy. It's a burgers, the smash burger
thing. High Boy is like the best burger in Kansas City. It is so good. It is like my dad would take me there before the Royals game. And then when I lived in Independence for a few years, the boys and I would go drive through down there off 291. And it's so good. And now when we go to the baseball game, they know what it is. They love it. So when we go to the baseball game, we go to the one right down the street and we'll get High Boy and then go to the Royals and stuff like that. So that's cool that that has continued for so long.
Yeah.
And it is still just such a good burger.
Yes. This episode brought to you by High Boy.
High Boy.
When you want a burger in Independence, Missouri, High Boy.
They do always have a coupon on their website for like buy a sandwich, get one free.
Yes.
Always. And just you can just show them the website at the drive-through window. Yeah,
they don't scan anything anymore. They used to count them. I worked there, and I did that exact thing.
Which is nice because they're pricey, but like so that but
yes. Everywhere's pricey.
Pricey, yeah.
They're not.
It's such a good burger.
It's a better burger than McDonald's, which justifies that it's more expensive. It's better than Whataburger.
I wish we had In-N-Out, but I do think that's probably the best. Like, it's a drive-in. Some have a restaurant. The original is just a walk-in. You drive up, walk in, and order and leave. There's no tables. There's no...
Right.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. So go ahead with your...
Oh, I don't know. Oh, yeah, so I ate like shit all week. That's the whole point. I went to Minsky's Pizza. I went to El Magui.
I love Minsky's.
Mexican restaurant, or El Magui, if you're a dick.
I love Minsky's Pizza. It's one of the better pizzas fresh.
Yes.
But it's not as good the day after.
You got to warm it up right.
How?
In the oven.
How do you?
Toaster oven.
No, it does not reheat the same way.
Because you're cold. You're doing cold it too Minsky's hot.
Is like no thing. Like, so,
yeah, I don't like cold anything really.
No, like thinner, like, because growing up, cold pizza, leftover pizza, like,
no.
I would, oh, you're wrong. And so I tried Rosati's, and that's really good. And it's great the day after, too. It's a thinner square cut. What do you mean? No, you never as a kid were like, Saturday morning pizza leftover from last night.
Yes, but not cold.
Oh, really?
I would, as a kid, I would microwave it. Now, as an adult, I don't microwave leftover breads
to ovens
anymore. It's all oven.
You
now
have to go ovens.
I've learned that.
Dude, you can reheat French fries in the oven.
Yeah, but your problem is your temperature is probably too high. Go about 275, a little under 300.
For Minsky's or in general?
Well, in general. And because anything over that, you're cooking it. You don't want to cook it more. You just want to warm it.
Maybe they do, and I've never looked, but their boxes should have a reheating instruction.
They should, but I just got a small.
Because it's not a normal pizza. It's a good dough, and it's hard to get back to that.
But what you do is you just get a small, you eat all of it, and then you hate yourself for several hours, and then you go and.
What if you do that with a medium?
Then you'd hate yourself a little more. It's a little tougher, though, to finish a medium on your own.
I got to have the Minsky's / Joe's Barbecue crossover pizza on my birthday this year.
That sounds okay.
It was good. Lunch, went, dined in with the boys. It was a good time.
I don't like different pizza toppings. I want pepperoni and sausage, and that's about it.
See, I'll go cheese or something fancy, but like I like just a cheese, extra cheese pizza. We do have like a minute left here, by the way, but I do like a cheese. Like, when you like a bunch of toppings, to me, pepperoni and sausages are toppings.
Mm-hmm.
I just throw some more cheese on there, and let's have a pizza.
I do like a cheese pizza sometimes, but I would never choose one. But if a cheese pizza exists Minsky's at a party or something. Add
cheddar, or it's like prime cut with cream cheese or something like that.
All right.
Where can people find you?
MikeIsFunny.com has links to everything. And my comedy special, which I filmed here at this club, is right at the top of my website. You can watch it for free.
I love you.
I love you too,
you
buddy.
Have a show to do. Follow, like, subscribe. The Comedy Club KC. I'll see you next week. Bye.